Okay. I bet everybody here has heard that before. A few of you are old enough to remember its origin. 1968, a Canadian band named Steppenwolf recorded that song, Born to be Wild, considered a hard rock proto-metal song, I learned on the internet. It became an anthem for the 70s hippie biker movement, theme to the movie Easy Rider, you know, about the biker lifestyle. It's a catchy tune. It's been used over and over and over in commercials and movies to promote all things free and carnal. Catchy tune. It gets in your brain, and now we need to play something else, right? Get your motor running, head out on the highway, looking for adventure, whatever comes our way. Yeah, darling, go make it happen. Take the world in a love embrace. Fire all your guns at once and explode into space. I don't know what that means. It goes on, and it's not a long song. They just repeat it a few times and have a lot of instrumental. Like a true nature's child, we were born to be wild. We can climb so high, I never want to die, born to be wild. I don't know why, when I was studying this for this sermon, that song kept coming. Because in 68 and 70s, I didn't like that song. In fact, I was not allowed to watch the Easy Rider movie. You know, it just, that was, had to look up all that information about who did the song. And I don't know why it kept coming to mind, but it really is the exact opposite of what Peter is telling us today. He is calling us to be holy. The song is opposed to what Peter is teaching. He said, have a sober mind ready to work. Be holy. Live in reverent awe of the cost of your redemption. You might have been born to be wild because of your sin nature, but you are reborn to be holy. Eternal, imperishable. The song says, I never want to die, but it describes a path headed straight for death. Fire all your guns at once and explode into space. Beats me. Peter says, if you are in Christ, you will not die. So live in light of the eternal Savior who has purchased your eternity. Be obedient, not wild. Be holy, not like the rest of the world. Live for eternity, not just for a few decades. You are reborn to be holy. Now, Peter said to the exiles of the first century, and he says to us, because of who you are, and that's what the first part of the chapter tells us. We've studied it for a couple of weeks now. Because of who you are, verse 13, it says, therefore, live like this. Because of who you are, live like this. And then he goes on to tell us to be holy. Because of our salvation in Christ, which will never perish, spoil, or fade, because of our inheritance as the chosen children of God, then live like this. Verse 13, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I think verses 15 and 16 sum up the main theme of this section. Be holy because I am holy. Just as he who called you is holy, so you be holy in all you do. It is written, he says, and it had been written over and over in the law and in the prophets. Be holy because I am holy. It first came to us in the Torah when God was handing down the law to Moses. And all of those strange food laws and temple laws are about being holy, being different from the other nations, he said to Israel. I want you to be my people. I want you to act like my people, be marked as my people, and I want you to be different than the other nations, holy, set apart. The prophets took up the same theme, and as they tried to bring Israel to reform hundreds of years later, be holy because God is holy. Who called you into this life anyway? If you are in Christ, who called you into this life? We learned again in the first part of the chapter, God has chosen you as his people. Just as he chose the nation of Israel, he has chosen you if you are in Christ. You are called to salvation in Christ, and so be set apart for God's way of life. As I said, holy to Israel meant being different than the rest of the nations, establishing themselves as God's nation. Holy to us means being set apart, being different than the world, so that we are ready for God's service in his kingdom. Being holy doesn't mean being perfect. It doesn't mean dressing up in a coat and tie and carrying a huge Bible around and saying church phrases all the time. That's not what being holy means. It means being set apart, dedicated to God's kingdom. Now, Peter was writing to Christians. He was expecting the people who, reading his letter, were already in Christ. And I think, I wonder if they had the same reaction that I do when I read, be holy. How can I, just a mere sinner, how can I be holy? I've been in church all my life. I was born Baptist. I was Baptist before I was Christian. And yet, I'm glad that soaked in. And yet, there's sin. It just creeps up, doesn't it? It just follows us. How can we, as mere sinners, be holy? Now remember, Peter assumes that he's talking to Christians. So first of all, there's a prerequisite. You must be in Christ, and Christ must be in you. Now, he gives us some suggestions about how to develop holy living. First of all, decide. Decide to be holy. That verse 13, with minds that are alert and fully sober. The original language there, and if you're reading King James or New King James, it probably says, gird up the loins of your mind. I love that phrase. It just is not very common for today's talk, is it? Gird up the loins of your mind. Do you even know what that means? Well, in their day, of course, the men wore long robes that would get in the way of work. And so when it came time to work hard, chop wood or whatever, they would reach down, grab the end of the robe, and tuck it in their belt to give them room to work, to gird up their loins with their robe and their sash or belt. Elijah, when he, you know, before he ran 13 miles ahead of the chariot, it says he girded up his loins. I think he reached to the back, pulled it up like a diaper, and stuck it in his belt so that he could move, ready to work. Roll up your sleeves. He's saying, get your mind ready to work. Be sober, clear-headed. Do not be drunk on stuff. Don't be drunk on wild dreams that make no sense. He didn't say don't dream, but set your mind on Christ. Don't dream about things that are going to distract you from Christ, but focus your mind on the grace of God brought to you by the work of Jesus Christ. It literally says, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Get your mind ready for work and set on Christ. Jesus has already done the saving work. Peter was there. He testifies to it. That work has been done. Jesus submitted to the cross. He rose from the grave. In just a few weeks, we're going to celebrate that at Easter time. And we also live in the knowledge of his future return. Here we are living between his first coming and his second. And Peter's saying, set your mind on what Jesus has done and what he's going to do, and keep your mind set on that. His grace will be fully known. It will be revealed again. Set your hope on him. Now, when we firmly set our minds on Christ and what he has done for us, then we will live obediently, not like hellions. You are not, well, you were born to be wild since you were born with a sin nature, but you are reborn to be holy. God is holy. If you want to exercise on that, just look through Leviticus and count all the times you see that. Be holy because I am holy. To live for God in this carnal world takes a lot of mental preparation. It's going to take some mental effort. You heard the prayer request. Pray for the right teachers to come to our schools, people who are committed to God. Pray for the teachers now. Pray for the students, because this world is tough. We need to get our minds right. Decide to be holy. Does Romans 12, 1 and 2 come to mind? Anybody thinking about that? Romans 12, 1 and 2. You might write that down, look it up, memorize it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's the same thing Peter was saying. First of all, you have to decide to be holy. Secondly, Peter says, remember the cost of your redemption, your salvation. Remind yourself what Jesus has done. This helps us train our mind for holy living, to live in reverent awe. The NIV says reverent fear. To live in reverent awe of your redemption. Look at verse 17. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. You have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You were not bought back with silver or gold. You were purchased by the precious blood of Christ. Your redemption, our redemption, is incredibly expensive. The Holy Creator became flesh so that he could pay the debt of our rebellion. He, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, died and defeated death in our stead. He took our place so that we may live. So live in reverence to him. Live in awe of his work. You see, it's part of reminding yourself who you are. You're bought by the blood of Christ. There are no favorites. God doesn't let anybody skate by. Every one of us will face judgment. And the only way we will be allowed into his eternal kingdom is through the redemption of the Lamb, the blood of Christ. When judgment day comes, only those who are chosen and marked by the blood of the Lamb and sealed by the Holy Spirit will be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, was ordained, he said, before creation to become the redemptive sacrifice. He was predestined to be raised from the dead and glorified. Peter lived through it. He saw it. He watched it happen. And he testifies to those people of the first century and to us that it's true. When we follow Christ, we are putting our faith in God. It is through the work that we know, it is through Christ's work that we know God. So, he says, live pure and holy lives, looking toward the eternal. Let's continue reading in verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Decide to be holy. Remember the cost of your redemption and love one another. He had to get that in there, didn't he? Love one another. If you want to live a holy life, learn to love each other. As followers of Jesus Christ, that's who we are. It's what we do. It's a part of our character as we follow Christ. Now that you're on the road to purity by obeying the truth, you are prepared, he says, to love each other rightly. You are able to love each other rightly. Do we always get it right? No. We fight, squabble, like worldly people, and we make new churches and new denominations and not acting like his followers. But the command is to love each other sincerely. Has nothing to do with erotic love or fuzzy feelings. It has to do with sacrifice and action to take care of one another. And how in the world can we love each other? By remembering who we are. Remembering that we are imperishable because the seed of our salvation is imperishable. He said, you're born of imperishable seed. The seed of your spiritual birth, Jesus Christ, is eternal. Our Father is holy and eternal, so must we be. Physically, he says, and he quotes Isaiah there, we're just like grass. We're like flowers. The season comes, we grow, we look lively, and then we die. That's what happens to these bodies, physically. We know. We continue to illustrate it. But we are reborn through the eternal word of the Lord. You remember how John in his gospel introduced Jesus in the Gospel of John? The Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, he was with God in the beginning. Jesus, the very word of God, is imperishable. He does not rot, spoil, or fade away. Eternally alive, imperishable. Death could not hold him. He was given over to death on the cross, and death could not hold him because he is eternal. And he will return for his eternal bride, the church. The physical seed of our body dies. The eternal seed of a reborn spirit never dies. Our inheritance with God does not perish, spoil, or fade. We need to remember these things. We need to remind ourselves that we are eternal beings, not living for just a few years or a few decades, but for eternity. You are not reborn to be wild. You are reborn to be holy. So get your mind right, sober, ready to work, be holy. Understand the cost of your redemption. Live in reverent awe of God. Love each other. Live for eternity, not just a few years on this earth. Let's look at the beginning of chapter 2 as we move toward the conclusion. The first three verses there of chapter 2. Therefore, another one of those words, because of what I've just said, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Are you reminded of Galatians 5? Where Paul listed the works of the flesh and the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. It says there in Galatians 5:19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Just look around. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He just went on and on, didn't he? The works of the flesh. He said, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So Peter and Paul wholeheartedly agree here. Quit holding on to the old life, the carnal life. Quit going back there. We do that sometimes, don't we? We go back to what felt good, especially if we get a little discouraged or knocked off the right path. What do we call that? In the old days, we called it backsliding. You know, we slide back into our old ways. It's a good term. It's very descriptive. But those, we find comfort in those old ways. But you know what's really happening is destroying us. Because we're meant to be holy creatures. We're reborn to be holy and eternal. When we slide back into that old way of life, it's like cleaning up the kitchen, getting it sparkling clean, and then throwing a bunch of trash in there. That's what it's like. That's how productive it is. And then it's harder to clean up. So get rid of the impurities, is what Peter's telling us. If we want to live holy lives, get rid of the old stuff, the impurities. And lastly, he says, or at least in the last part we read, take some nourishment. Remember to take some good nourishment. You cannot grow without proper nourishment. I think one, you know, our high school athletes these days are just doing such incredible things. Part of it is because they've really learned a lot about nutrition. They've learned to discipline themselves with their nutrition. You can't grow without good nourishment. You cannot be stronger without the right food. You cannot heal without protein. To change, we need good food. To change spiritually, we need the Word, the very Word of God. He said, crave some pure spiritual milk. Crave the Word of God. Get some in you. Remember to take some good nourishment. Be holy because God is holy. And He gives us here what we've read today, several exercises, several routines to help us increase and strengthen our holiness factor. Decide to be holy. Remember the cost of your redemption. Love one another. Remember the imperishable inheritance you have been given. Get rid of the impurities. And remember to take some nourishment. God's Word. Easy as pie, right? All you have to do is follow what Peter says. It's a lot easier to preach than it is to live. It is. But it's what we're called to. We are called to be holy. And Peter didn't make this up. Peter didn't just decide on his own, you know what? I think you people need to be holy. He's repeating the very themes that he heard Jesus preach. The Sermon on the Mount that you will find in Matthew 6. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves will not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Does that sound like set your mind on the eternal? Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, And all these other things will be added to you as well. Make it top priority over the things of the world. Seek His kingdom first, His righteousness. It's another way of saying, be holy, because I am holy. I don't know what it means to you individually today, but I know the power of God's word. And if you let it soak into your minds and hearts, it will change you. It will lead you to change. And the Holy Spirit will use it to illuminate what needs to change, to show you a new way and a better way, or maybe some new adventure. Get out on the highway. Do what God's calling you to do. If you need some help sorting that out, we want to help you. If you need to get on this path by accepting the salvation of Christ and committing your life to Him, then we want to help you with that. If you just need prayer today, then as we sing together, find somebody or come on up here. And let's just do some business. Okay? Stand up. Music team, please come on.